gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair? Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on family matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, please give us a call. Our number is 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number. You may want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to in shul. All calls are strictly confidential. Again, our number, 718-758-0400. We are still offering parent support groups by Zoom. Sunday night for blended families, second marriages, bringing up each other's children with Yeshaya Krauss. Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Tuesday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky. Wednesday night in the Five Towns in person, Cheryl Friedman. And once a month in Brooklyn in person, Dr. Trish Atiyah. Anyone that wants to register for the parent support groups, please call us 718-758-0400. So we're at crunch time, but I'm really appreciative to have on with us once again a dear friend, a colleague from a wonderful organization, outpatient clinic, Jessica Steinmetz, clinical director at the SAFE Foundation. And Jessica will talk about who are the SAFE Foundation. Welcome, Jessica. How are you?
Good evening. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on here, Ruchama. Always a pleasure to be joining forces. I'll tell you a little bit about the SAFE Foundation. We are an outpatient facility. We work with people who struggle with substances, alcohol, or gambling addictions. We also work with family members to provide individual and group therapy, in addition to some family work for them to live a healthy, sober recovery lifestyle. We work a lot in the communities, and we really do a lot of these community events to help educate people and bring awareness to the addiction in the communities. So thank you for having me today.
Thank you for coming on. And we both want to give out a shout out to Ike Dweck, founder of the SAFE Foundation, who is always there to help families and help the families of Mask as well. So shout out to you, Ike. Thank you for all you do. Jessica, it's holiday time. It's going to be a lot of meals. People that are struggling with alcoholism, whatever addiction they may be struggling with, that attend your programs, what are you suggesting to them in reference to creating a plan in handling triggers and cravings during this holiday season?
Yeah, so I think, you know, like you said, the holiday time brings up a lot of stress, whether you're a family member or someone using alcohol or substances. just being around family can be very stressful. And the wine requirements, so to speak, quote unquote requirements. I would always encourage people to, have this plan where you can start talking about what those triggers might be, the 4 cups of wine or certain meals, and have some kind of thing that works for each person. So if someone responds well to meditation, taking a step back, maybe remove yourself from certain situations. I always encourage people to have, supportive family around them, sit near people that are supportive. It's really complicated when you're feeling alone, especially if you're having these cravings, these thoughts, these feelings that you want to drink and everyone around you is drinking. So I always encourage people to, plan to be around people that understand or that know what you're going through. And of course, always recommended to have, the grape juice around you, and putting those things into place can make a big difference.
You say enlisting family members, loved ones, and maintaining, their sobriety goals. So let's talk about how, give them some language. Somebody may be listening tonight to the show and want to call a family member that may not know that they are struggling. And can you offer some language for them to ask for their help?
Yeah, so some language for the person that's struggling to ask for the family member's help, you're asking, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I always think that, being I never tell people to shout it from the rooftops. Not everyone is comfortable sharing their experiences. I think it's about finding, let's say, the right person in this person's life. So let's say a close friend, family, and it doesn't have to be a whole conversation right off the bat. It could just be something like, hey, I'm trying to stay away from alcohol. I'm trying to, not drink this holiday season. I'm just going to stick with you if that's okay. I don't necessarily think right off the bat without any preparation, if someone were deciding to call a loved one today to just tell their whole story if they don't feel comfortable with that. But really just making it about trying to stay healthy, trying to stay away from things that could be challenging for them. And if this person can be holding them accountable, can you make sure I don't have wine? If I ask you for it, don't give it to me. Again, every person has their close people, but I think just being as, simple, straightforward could be helpful.
Okay. All right. Now let's go to, I'm sure there are those that have, certain social situations or events that they may not want to accept an invitation. What would you suggest how they could politely decline an invitation?
Yeah, I think that it's, these are one of the harder things to do. A lot of people, especially in the communities that we're in, alcohol is a very big part of these social situations, and social situations are how people obviously connect and enjoy. I think it's definitely okay to decline invitations that may be difficult. It's something that, again, not having to tell your whole story, but just thanking them for the invite while explaining that it's just not necessarily the right thing for you right now, that you're busy with other things. I think that everyone has, I don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable doing this again without much preparation, but explaining that it might just be difficult for you to be participating in situations that revolve around alcohol or whatnot, or if you're going to these things. Similar to what we said before, having a supportive network with you, going with someone that you trust, that you know is going to be supportive of your sobriety. I think that's always the way to go to these events if you feel like you can't decline. And when I say can't, I mean sometimes you're invited out for a meal with your whole family. It's sometimes hard to decline these things. But going back to leaning on your support systems that do know what's going on is going to make the difference at anything that you go to.
So let's talk about talking about alcohol. Let's talk about how much alcohol. We have two seders, four cups at night. At each seder that you drink, then every meal for the next 8 days, every lunch meal, as you make Kiddush on the wine, the blessing on the wine. So it is to be accommodating those that you may know are struggling with alcoholism, or you may not even know they're struggling, or they may be on medication. Please, everyone out there, have grape juice on your table. You don't have to only have wine on one's table. Please arrange to have non-alcoholic beverage grape juice on the table. And also, Jessica, we've gotten so many complaints that clients were offered to make Kiddush on the best bottle of wine and wanted to try this one. This one is, the number one wine of this season. And they declined. And they said, no, I'll do grape juice. And the host just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So we say, when somebody declines, somebody says, no, thank you. When somebody says, I'll do grape juice, leave it at that. Please, everyone out there that's listening, take this very seriously. Just say, sure, grape juice it'll be. What do you want to add to that, please?
Yeah, I was actually gonna say that as well. I was gonna suggest that or ask that, respect the fact that some people say no. It at the end of the day, it shouldn't, and I know that shouldn't is not the always the best word to use, but it shouldn't matter why someone is saying no. And I think that it shouldn't be something that we have to figure out, well, why aren't you doing it? Just do it. It's the best bottle. I think it's if someone says no, please respect the no. No is an answer, whether it's that they're on medication, like you mentioned, Ruhama, or that they might be going through a recovery journey, or just they're allergic, who knows? But if someone says no, I think that pushing them to keep drinking, it not only feels very triggering for the person struggling, but it just feels very emotionally draining for them. It's just there's only so much that they can push back in those vulnerable times. And depending on where they are in the recovery journey, that vulnerability is going to be likely pretty high. And so if someone keeps pushing, sometimes the easiest thing is just to give in. And we really just want to be respectful of people's no.
And like they always say, no is a full sentence.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Jessica, so like you said, people are pushing possibly. What coping mechanism should one focus on during these kind of events and gatherings where alcohol is present so that they can get through the night or just those, the time when everyone's sitting down and preparing which bottle they're going to be using at the Seder.
Yeah, I think that, the easiest ones to talk about are, planning ahead by if you are going somewhere by bringing your own non-alcoholic beverage just because you don't know if the person's going to have any, which is, I guess, I get that it's uncomfortable to do that because it's like, why is someone bringing their own? It's the same question as before. Well, why is someone bringing their own drink? But I think that that's where planning ahead and making sure that you have that option. If you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling like these are difficult times, again, leaning on your supportive people, but also having some type of exit plan if you feel uncomfortable. It doesn't have to be leaving the whole meal or social situation. It could just be, getting up, use the restroom, or just get up and go bring something in from the kitchen. Just participating in the other aspects of the meal, whether it's, helping clean up or helping prepare stuff, just kind of removing yourself from that alcohol part. And it's definitely hard, especially when it's within the meal. The four cups obviously is during these parts, but if it's at that point where you feel like you just have to get up and move, sometimes those are the best coping skills. I would also say that, read through the Haggadah, right? Like read through the Haggadah during these times and engage in that, even if you can't get up, right? Just be busy with something else where you're not going to be part of that drinking aspect of it.
And I'm glad you brought up the Haggadah. There is a Haggadah out there that was written by some young women, and it's based on Friends, the TV show.
Oh,
And
cute.
it's a little bit lighter for those that are struggling with the regular translations of the Haggadah. It would be a good idea to order that. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon and get it still before the holiday. So
And
yeah.
I'll also add that, we here at Safe, we've gone through a bunch of sources. We pulled from other versions of this, but we've created a Haggadah, not a full Haggadah, but a Haggadah with a recovery aspect, so that there's certain pieces from the Haggadah that are able to be focused on, recovery and addiction, and it has questions in it for people to think about while they're reading through some of these sections. So again, it's not the entire Haggadah, but it's just like a reference book type of thing that we have here at Safe. It's definitely an option also for people to access that, because it could just help people have some kind of, material that they can read through while going through these difficult times. We worked with them with some of these questions with some of our clients here, and it's been very helpful just to change the framework of Pesach being about drinking the four cups and whatnot. It's a little bit deeper, so it's a good idea as well.
So, Jessica, on live radio, I'm going to ask you, can Safe forward that Haggadah to Mask? And anyone that wants it, we will send it out to them because I know Safe will be closing and Mask is open until Erev Yom Tov. So, if possible, email it to Mask, to me. And I personally will get it to anyone that calls the Mask helpline. Be sure to have Safe's number on it so that they know that they could reach out to Safe, the next time you guys are open. All
Yeah,
right.
and just to clarify, we're open until Erev Yom Tov as well, and we're open on
Great.
Thursday and Friday during Chol HaMoed. But I will definitely get that to you. It's also going to be on our website in our resources tab. But I'll definitely forward it over to you so that you can offer it to people that are in need of that. And yeah, we can definitely be helpful to them.
So let's just talk about Safe for a moment. And somebody needs services. Can you just describe what would happen? They would call up, do an intake, and what happens?
So typically what happens, someone will call, they'll reach out to our intake person or me, depending on the situation. We'll just get some basic information over the phone, determine if it makes sense to come in for an appointment, which 99% of the time we do ask, just so we can make the best assessment. And then within, we can get people in as soon as same day, depending on what time they call and our availability for those assessments. When they meet with the assessment person, it's just again like more information, get a sense of what it is that this person is and is looking for, their goals, whether we're the right facility, if they are, working on, a recovery lifestyle, they want to stop using their drugs or alcohol or gambling behaviors, or there's a wife of someone who's struggling with something. We would then transfer them over to a therapist where they will work one-on-one. Family members have their own therapist. The substance users have their own therapist. Gambling clients have a gambling specific therapist, and they're going to be one-on-one therapy in combination with group therapy, educational groups, substance specific process groups, gambling specific processing groups. And then we do a lot of family work as well. We also have a psychiatrist, so we can really offer a wide variety of services depending on the person's needs. We offer MAT treatment, which is things that help people, stay off of certain drugs like opiates or alcohol, even nicotine. So we can offer medications to specifically help with those things as well. So we really do offer a wide variety of services, and we're here for anyone, any person struggling.
And when she says anyone, I will tell you, they are there not for anyone, but for everyone. So everyone that is struggling with any addiction, drugs, alcohol, gambling, nicotine, please call the SAFE Foundation today. Please give out the number.
Yeah, so our number is 718-438-7233. That'll take you directly to our intake person. Her name is Allison. She gets the calls, and if she doesn't, leave a voicemail, she'll get back to you within a very short period of time. And we're available again till Erev Yom Tov and then through Chol Hamoed as well. So, if you leave us a voicemail throughout any of that time, we'll definitely be in touch with you.
Jessica, let's talk now 12 step. First, can you just describe what is the 12 steps about so that those that aren't familiar, but also I think it's so important for you to mention why the parents or the wife needs to understand what their loved ones may be going through and need the 12 steps. So they should learn it and understand it.
Yeah, so the 12 steps are, it's a supportive network. The 12 steps are specifically within these programs like the Alcoholics Anonymous or AA, Narcotics Anonymous or NA, and et cetera, Gamblers Anonymous, GA. It's really like a support network where it's run by people who are going through that. So it's not run by any therapists, it's not funded by any programs. It's really just a The only criteria to join any type of anonymous meeting is just a desire to stop doing the behavior that you're doing. There's anonymous meetings for anything. I think the importance of the 12 steps is the 12 steps are specifically 12 different steps that people in these programs will work through, ideally with a sponsor or someone that would be considered like a mentor in a sense. You'll work through that, and it really is a very introspective cleansing type of journey. I know that Rabbi Twersky in his Addictive Thinking refers to the 12 steps as a way to really help people, change the shame that they might feel into a more, like a guilt so that you can actually work on the guilt. Shame is something that feels more deep-rooted, but the 12 steps helps that become something that can be worked on, which is a really amazing thing. For family members, there are 12-step programs for family members as well. I always encourage family members to look at things like Al-Anon, which is, it's like the family members of people who have struggled with alcohol, Nar-Anon. They have a bunch of Anons. For family members, it's that same idea. It's filled with people that are going through the same things that one might be going through. It's not run by a therapist. It's really just supportive network. And you can find meetings anywhere in the world at any time. So it's really like 24-hour support. And it can be the thing that helps you in your time of need, right? If you're traveling and you're in an airport and you're just feeling very triggered and stressed, you can always hop on a meeting on Zoom and just, take yourself out of where you are right now and just bring yourself into this journey. I think it's important for family members to understand the importance of 12-step meetings because I think sometimes the person struggling feels, especially if it's like a husband and wife, they don't want to feel like they're imposing on the loved one's schedule, that they have to run out for meetings, that it's just this other thing they have to do. Instead, we want them to understand it so that they know that this is really an ingredient for their recovery. If not an ingredient, it's like a one of the more important ingredients, and there's definitely a big benefit to those that are part of those types of programs.
Thank you. And Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackerman at MASC facilitates a support group by Zoom for parents, and it is a 12-step based model meeting. So anyone that wants to attend, please, to get more information, please call 718-758-0400. And for all the Safe Foundation's services and resources, please go onto their website or call them. Jessica, please give out the information again.
So we're 718-438-7233, or you can go to our website, which is www.thesafefoundation.org, and you can find all of our resources there as well, and just a little bit more about our program. We also have, and just now that you mentioned that meeting that you guys have on Monday nights, we have on Tuesday nights, it's not hosted by anyone at SAFE, but it's within the SAFE building. There is an AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, meeting at 8 o'clock in the SAFE building that's open to anybody. It's definitely a good option for people that want to be surrounded with people within the community. I think it's a mixed bag of people, but it's local, it's community. We also have a Gamblers Anonymous meeting here in our SAFE building on Sunday nights at 7. So it's just for people to know that those resources do exist as well.
And the Tuesday night meeting, will a SAFE building be open on the holiday?
So it's actually a really good question. Because the meetings are just regular, like they're meetings as on the websites of the meetings, I guess technically they'd probably be closed because the SAFE building is closed. So it's probably canceled. Yeah, that's a good point.
Great. So then people should go online and familiarize themselves now before the holiday season. Figure out what meeting you can get on to by Zoom if you're in somebody's home. And if you need to go outside, the rabbis say you can go to a meeting, leave the Seder, go to a meeting, and go back to the Seder. The Seder goes on and on for hours. Mm-hmm. So we are running out of time, but I have just one quick question. And that is, those that decline their holiday invitations, they may be very lonely and isolated. So really quickly, what do you suggest to them?
Yeah, I think that's really a good point. That's always that's most times the reasons people don't want to decline, out of fear of being alone or not part of the social circle. I would say that there's, you know, trying to find other types of community situations, whether that's your anonymous community, like you said, you can leave the Seder, go to a meeting, do what you have to do. That could be your community. Or, you know, engaging with other Jewish community events, like at shul, or other friends and family who might be trying to have a healthy and sober Passover or Pesach Seder. I think that there's other ways of having that connection, but again, it takes some preparation in advance to know, who are my people? What are my places? I think it's about finding the safe people, places, and things that are available to you so that you don't feel like you can't be around people.
Jessica, great advice. Thank you for coming on. I know it's crunch time for you and everyone else. I want to wish you and all my listeners a very happy, healthy, sweet holiday. Thank you for coming on, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me. And I wish you also a very, very Chag Sameach, you and all the listeners. And I really appreciate us collaborating together.
As always, Chag Kosher V'Sameach to all my listeners. And please have the courage and the strength to get help and call the SAFE Foundation if you need help. I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually still hug tight. Bring the hostages home now. Thank you. And have a good night. Please consider to go online to Mask Parents and donate so that we could continue to do all of our programs. Thank you.